I'd like to begin with a verse in John 21. My brother had been speaking about where I've been from, where we're headed, and a little about now. And that's what I want to speak a little about now. What are we doing now? The first verse is in John 21, verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. First thing we find here is that he says, Lord. Here now, your young people, older ones, is he truly your Lord? We go to meet the Savior. That touches our hearts because he's the one who died for us. He's the one who shed his precious blood, the Savior. And there's an affection for us, for Jesus as our Savior. But how about Lord? Is there an affection in our hearts for Lord? Let's back up, verse 15, John 21, 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. The Lord Jesus was sitting right next to you in that chair and says to you, Lovest thou me more than all these in this room? What kind of a response could you tell him? Peter says, Lord. So the Lord is asking each one of us in this room, do you love me? I'm not going to get into the agape and the various forms of love in the verse, but just the fact that he's asking his own, do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Marvelous, and yet it's a searching thing, brethren, young people, to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ knows everything that's going in your thoughts. Everything that comes into your mind. Lord, thou knowest. Feed my lambs, the little tender ones. Asks again, verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto me, I said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. How many times, as it were, does the Lord have to speak to our hearts to get what he's looking for? A real, honest response. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Well, that's the second time. How many times in your life has the Lord spoken to you, seeking a response from you in your life? Third time, verse 17, saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us through very serious trials and difficulties in our lives to get us to acknowledge, I love you, Lord. I love you. Easy, if I could say it reverently, it's easy to love Jesus. He died for me. The Savior, God, so loved the world. It's easy, as it were, to love the Savior, but to love the Lord, oh, the Lord, he's the one that tells me what to do. He speaks of obedience, submission. Some of us are aware of the fact that in the Scriptures there is the reference made to the Lord's day, the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, the Lord's coming. 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians, we have the Lord's table, and there's a moralistic list of things that we're warned against. about falling into. The 11th chapter speaks of the Lord's Supper, and in that chapter, it's headship, responsibility. God, Christ, the husband, the wife, responsibility, and then the Lord's Supper. So three times he puts before Peter this question, lovest thou me more than these? Let's ask each one of our hearts that same question. Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture says if we don't, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. That's somebody who's lost in their sins. But you claim to know him as Savior. How about Lord? Is he Lord in your life? I'd like to look at three sets of threes. This was the first one, so there's three more to go. I just love it when somebody stands up and look at seven different items and, oh boy, now I got to wait for number one, number two, number three, number four. We spend most time on number one. Here's number one. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. We tend to compare ourselves among ourselves. Follow thou me. Where are we going to follow? He doesn't lead us contrary to the word of God. We're told if we're really interested in knowing the place, we're going to follow a man bearing a pitcher of water. And he's going to lead us into the city. He's going to lead us into a house. He's going to lead us up to the upper room. And that's where he's at. He hasn't left. He wants you to follow him, to be where he is, to behold his glory. I was downstairs this morning by the water, and I asked a brother if he had any advice for me. And he said, watch your step. Watch your step. Watch your step, dear young people, as you journey through life. Watch your step. All it takes is one slip. One slip. Your testimony is gone. But God is able to raise you back up again so you can be used of him. Watch your step. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We've had much before us about spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5. Here is the first step. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Then we have this lovely three. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. You do have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And either one of these three or two of the three can lead you astray. There's two examples that come to my mind in the Old Testament. One was Samson. The other one was Ruth. Which one do you think was governed by the flesh, by his body? Which one was governed by spirit? Total contrast in their lives. Samson got himself involved with an unbeliever. His parents would plead with him, is there not one of the daughters of my people that you have to go to one of these daughters of the uncircumcised Philistines? How about young people? Are you interested in somebody who isn't the Lord's? Are you interested in a boyfriend who isn't the Lord's? Are you interested in a girlfriend who isn't the Lord's? They're the enemies of Christ. The enemies of Christ. And yet you've allowed your affection, you've allowed your body to get so engrossed that the spirit, the mind, doesn't think straight anymore. That's what this is talking about. Allowing the spirit to govern intelligently The affections girded with truth in the body, in the place of submission. It has its place. I believe it was Gordon Hayhoe used to tell us, if you get this wrong, out of place, spirit, soul, and body, you're going to have a life of heartache. A life of heartache. And so here's the first one. I pray, God, what do you pray about? What do you pray for? My wife and I have been exercising about praying in the light of what Scripture says. Praying the prayers of Ephesians and Colossians for our family, for ourselves. To really get into the presence of God. To know what it is to walk with the Lord. The very God of peace. You want peace in your life? Allow the Spirit of God to govern your spirit. What are the answers to these three? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I pray, God, your spirit be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. How's that going to be? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice at the end of some of the epistles it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And then it says, let's just turn to it just so you see it for yourselves. Galatians. Galatians 6, 18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's what's going to preserve our spirit in our thinking, is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saints in Galatia had a problem. They were coming back under the law, and can you imagine what happened after they read this letter from Paul? They got together and said, well, you said this, you said this, you said this, and they start fighting amongst themselves. The spirit gets ballistic. But now he says, no, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's walking with the Lord. To have that spirit of grace that he had. Lovest thou me more than these? The love of God, the soul, communion, affections. We're told to set our affections on things above. What's going to keep our soul? His affections. The love of God. Who's the love of God? It's Christ himself, the hope of glory. He's going to guard those affections. But if you find yourself like Samson, just bent on having your own way, not allowing the Word of God to govern, you're going to fall terribly. And Samson wasn't just an ordinary Israelite. He was a Nazarite. He was chosen of God. He had a godly character to maintain. They looked at him, oh, there's a Nazarite. We look at you. You're a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? We hear it say, Christ, I am nothing. But to live a Christian life, to dress a Christian life, to speak a Christian life. When I was growing up, like many of you are, there were brothers who would stand up and give addresses on how Christians ought to dress, how they ought to look. Assembly addresses about why we meet as we do. Would 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. Why do we meet as we do? Are we in the right place? And so forth. The Lord has taken many out of the scene. But now we need to follow on. If the Lord seems fit to take one home, He raises up another. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You're following the Lord. The love of God. Do you rest in that love? I'm speaking about the lake out here and how it's so peaceful. The peace of God. And then we find our body, the communion of the Holy Ghost. That's searching. Can I allow my body to do, to go anywhere in the communion of the Holy Ghost? One of the favorite songs in Sunday school is, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear." And sometimes the question is asked of those, what two get us in the most trouble? What two get us in the most trouble? Well, it's part of the body. It's because we're not in communion with the Holy Ghost. We're not realizing, it's been brought before us, that we are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within us individually. And there's a responsibility that each one of us have to keep our bodies in death. Paul could say, "I die daily. I die daily. For to me to live is Christ." But you know, sometimes we hear it said by others, those are just cliches. Those are just cliches. They don't really have any meaning in our lives. Because we look around and we don't see any reality in our brethren. We look at ourselves and we see failure. Something just isn't right because we haven't really answered that question. Lovest thou me more than these? Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We're epistles known and read of all men. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. We're going to meet the Savior. What manner of behavior doth with this hope agree? We talk about being like Him. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. And so there's an inward searching. We're going to be, Lord willing, at the Lord's table tomorrow. And we're exhorted to examine ourselves. Judge those things in our hearts and our lives that do not conform to Him, so that we can sit in His presence and let Calvary flood our hearts. There at the cross, for me, for you, He died. Be with you all. He wants us to go home on as brethren together. He doesn't want us sitting at home isolated. Sometimes we find that there are those who only come to the breaking of bread. They don't come out to the prayer meeting. They don't come out to the reading meeting. They don't come out to any gospel outreach. But they're there for breaking of bread. Well, thank the Lord they're there because He's there. But what is that to you? Follow thou me. There are many in the world who know how to work the system. And I dare say there's young people here who know how to work the system, if you would. You're out on the fringes just enough where you won't get into problems with your brethren. You won't get into difficulties because we're not walking in the fear of the Lord. We want to have our own will, our own pleasure, do our own thing. Three times Peter is asked. Why was he asked? You know that he denied the Lord three times. If the Lord had to ask us as many times as we deny Him, how many times do you think He'd have to ask us? Quite a bit. But yet it's a searching question when the Lord of glory says, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Lex 3 is found in the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I often wondered at the close of the solemn book that the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost is not mentioned. what the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is. Grace. I was living in Dorothy, New Jersey. I heard Brother Don Hinesley bring this out. Surely I come quickly. Amen. The last promise of Scripture. The very last promise that God Himself, through the Son, to you and I says, behold, I come quickly. Do you really want Him to come? You really want Him to come, brethren, young people? I asked a lady at work one time, a Christian lady, and said, well, the Lord's coming. Well, I hope He doesn't come soon because I got a lot of things I want to get done first. That was her response, honest response. I have a lot of things I want to get done. Do you have an object here below that would hinder the desire of the Lord's coming? Wow, if the Lord came today, I can't get married. I won't have kids. I won't graduate from school. I won't be able to get a job. What's important? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer. The last promise, the last prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And I say this to my own soul, to my own heart. When is the last time you and I really got down and talked with God? Really prayed about a situation. Not a quick gibberish and then it's over. But really getting into the presence of God for a family member, for the assembly, whatever it might be, to pour out our heart. The last prayer is, even so come, Lord Jesus. I trust that's our prayer. Even so come. This Lord Jesus, Lord Savior, isn't that nice? He's coming for you and for me. But is it really our desire to see Him? What manner of behavior? We're talking about the Lord's coming for us and with us was alluded to. And in that coming day, Peter could say, seeing all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter felt the reality of coming events, not just theoretical, interesting, who's going to win the election, how's it going to fit in the prophecy, who's the Assyrian, who's the Babylon, whatever. No, but what manner of persons? Is it going to change our life? Is it going to cause us to live in view of His coming? Follow thou me. And then the last provision, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The very name we're gathered to. When you gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of that one. The whole Godhead is in that expression. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He's for us, brethren. He's going to preserve us. He's going to keep us. It's been mentioned we're going to be indeed predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is faithful who also will do it. Come, Lord Jesus, take us home. Is that your cry? But isn't that gracious of God? The last promise, the last prayer, and the last provision. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, ye may be also. Where are we going, brethren? Where are we going? We're going to the Father's house. He's taking us home. If I can say this reverently, He's taking us home to see Daddy. He's taking us home. And as His bride, together, we'll see Him. I know no man will see God, but in the person of the Son, we see the Father. But we're going home to the Father's house. Follow thou me. What does that entail? Turn over to Peter. Peter's epistle, chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Not only did he die for you, dear young people and older ones, but he suffered for you. He suffered for you, for me. We heard of this dear young lady, and she's suffering with this cancer. But the Lord Jesus suffered for you on the cross. He did. Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Here we go. What's the very first thing he wants you and I to do? Is redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, who did no sin. Did no sin. The new nature cannot sin, will not sin, cannot sin. And so if we're following the Lord in the goodness and reality of the new nature, we're not going to sin. That's when we get our eyes off of the Lord. The spirit, the soul, the body get out of kilter. We find ourselves in this situation. And what's the first thing that causes us to get into difficulty? Our mouth. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Guard our tongues, brethren. Let's not bite and devour one another. Let's feed, build one another up in our most holy faith. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but submitted himself to him that judges righteously. How many heartaches, how many sorrows would have been alleviated if we would have simply committed it to him who judges righteously. And then it says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If there's one here who's drifting, one here who's about to make a fatal mistake, put the brake on. Ask the Lord, save me. Not in the salvation sense, but in a practical walk. Save me from this mistake. Samson had many red lights placed in his path, and he didn't listen to any of them, and he lost his life. Half of his life was gone. 20 years of service, should have been 40. He lost 20 years of service for the Lord because he fell in love with an ungodly girl. And she said something very striking. She says to Samson, how can you say you love me when you do not do things which I say? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus telling us that? If he was sitting right there and stood up and said, how can you say you love me when you do not the things which I say? And so that's why he challenges us through Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? We don't need to be occupied with what brother so-and-so is doing. We need to be occupied with herself. What am I doing? Am I walking in the fear of the Lord? Am I an example of the believer in word and in doctrine and so forth? Am I living a life where people say, yeah, he's living for the Lord? And then we can be a help. It's not that we don't care about others or not interested in others, but the Lord wants us to realize he comes first in our lives. He is first. Everything will fall in its place. So the last, again, last promise. Do you remember what it was? Good thing he wrote it down, didn't he? Behold, I come quickly. The last prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the last provision. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And Paul learned that. To the saints at Ephesus, the elders, he could say, I commend you to God and the word of his grace.